Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
We want to start today with a look at some brand new data on mail-in voting in Massachusetts and how important we're learning that's going to be to elections this fall. So here to tell us about it is Steve Cozzella, president of the Mass Inc. Polling Group. Welcome back, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
So let's jump right in. You conducted a survey for WBUR looking at how many people plan to vote by mail. What's the top headline?
That's right. So in all, 41% of likely voters that we talked to said that they plan to cast their ballots by mail. But then the really interesting thing is what that means in terms of who they're actually going to vote for. So of those planning to cast their ballots by mail, 85% of them say that they're planning to vote for Joe Biden, just 9% for Trump. So a huge margin for Joe Biden among mail-in voters. And then when you look at people who at this point say that they're planning to show up on election day, the race is basically tied, just a 1-point difference between the two candidates. So lots to think about in terms of how we track the election, how we report the election that night. It's going to be really interesting fall.
So I want to zero in on a number you gave at the beginning of that answer, which is this 41% overall. I think I understand that's about a million vote by mail ballots here. What does that mean for election day itself, especially, Steve, given that there's a political affiliation to whether it's coming in by mail or you're going in to a building that day?
Yeah, and it could even be more than that. You know, this is the number that say that now, but as we all know, our understanding of the pandemic and each one of our individual approaches to it are changing day to day, week to week. So, you know, those numbers could even grow. But the thing that one of the things that it could mean is that our traditional approach to election day, the things we're used to, where we all tune in and we see, you know, CNN's magic wall and there's Steve Kornacki with his sleeves rolled up, freaking out over, you know, vote returns in a specific county. Those kinds of things will look pretty different, you know, because we're not going to have a lot of the ballots that were actually cast in our hands on election day. And the ones that we're not going to have in our hands will be disproportionately Democratic if the trends that we're seeing right now hold. We'll see Donald Trump and Republicans looking much better just because the votes that were actually physically fed into the machine, the ones that were turned in at the precinct on election day, will be more Republican, whereas the ones that are kind of trickling in the days to follow that were legally cast that should count, those ones will be more Democratic. So you can imagine,
finish your thought. That's okay.
I was going to say, you can imagine the difference both in terms of how we watch election day and then also how, you know, people who haven't necessarily been paying attention to the process might experience it and think, you know, what's going on? Why do Democrats seem to be catching up after election day?
And we've got some big races right here in the Commonwealth, congressional races, Senate race. What's it going to mean for how election day plays out here, for the races here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got the presidential race, we've got the Senate election. I mean, I think both of those are relatively likely to be not very close. You know, we never want to say for sure, of course, because obviously there's a long time until November. But, you know, we did favorables on the Democrat Republican candidates running for Senate and found very little name recognition for the Republicans. And of course, the presidential election, we looked at that one and found a 36-point margin for Joe Biden, which would be historically wide. So I don't think we're too worried about, you know, miscalling something like that here, but it will be watching the races that happen elsewhere. I think that will be the bigger deal here in Massachusetts.
Now, you also asked people about their level of confidence in the integrity, really, of the election, given this combination of mail-in and in-person voting. What did you learn about there?
Yeah, people in general are more confident that our state elections here in Massachusetts will be held in a free and fair manner compared to the presidential election. And the main difference there really is that Republicans are about as confident in both, but Democrats and independents are much less confident in the presidential election. And I think you can, you know, going back to our earlier conversation, understand a little bit of why that may be. You know, we've seen some issues with the Postal Service that it's it seems like are being caused intentionally as a way to potentially affect the election. And you can see, I think there's good reason right now to question whether or not the election will be held in a free and fair manner. But that's really where the big difference is. It's Democrats and independents that have a much more skeptical view of national elections compared to state elections.
Now, there are some exceptions always. Let's hear from one voter, Chris Giroux, a 48-year-old from South Hadley, who plans to vote for Trump, but does say that he trusts the process.
I just think that with this day and age, with the COVID and everything, I think a lot more people are taking the mail-in process more serious. There's a lot of people watching it now.
Now, I do want to ask, you said a minute ago, Steve, that the number of people who are planning to vote by mail could change between now and November. Could voters like Chris or others who are either feeling confident or not feeling confident in the integrity change their minds over the next couple of months? And what would do that?
Certainly. And I should also say that, you know, all of these things are just that we're talking about are just most people or a large number of people. We still have 28% of registered Republicans who do plan to cast a mail-in ballot. And looking at all Trump voters, we've got about 14% of them. So, I mean, that's tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of people, you know, Republicans and Trump voters who will be voting by mail. It's not all one. It's not all the other. But it's more just a big deal because of the way that if mail-in balloting is not conducted in a way that's effective, the disproportionate impact that it would just have on one side. But in terms of what could change people's minds, I think it's two things really. One is the progress of the pandemic and how we deal with it, and whether the level of risk that people are perceiving. And the other is if we can backtrack from the way that mail-in balloting has been politicized. You know, because it has really been. You know, you've seen the president's tweets, for instance. It's been really politicized to make it seem like that potential for fraud is high and that really you should be casting your ballot in person like everybody else.
And Steve, very briefly, have we ever seen an election in Massachusetts before where the method by which you vote mattered so much?
I mean, this is going to be a really unique one, I think. And I think we all just kind of wait and see what happens and try to do the best we can to ensure that the process will be effective, first of all, and that people will feel that the process is effective. You know, having to even ask the question of whether or not people will be confident in free and fair elections feels weird in America, to be honest. You know, I've done polling around the world, and it's not a question that I'm used to seeing big variation in here in America. So it's kind of disturbing, and I sort of hope we can backtrack from it, but you know, it's going to be quite a fall. I think we can say that for sure.
All right, that's Steve Cazella, president of the Mass Inc. Polling Group, which conducted the survey for WBUR. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
So let's turn for some analysis. Joining us now is Pam Wilmot, executive director of the advocacy group Common Cause Massachusetts. Welcome back, Pam.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Pam, are you surprised to see that more Democrats statewide plan to vote by mail than Republicans do?
Not so much given the president's tweets and basically the campaign he's been on to discredit vote by mail. I would note that he and the vice president are both voting by mail, so it's a little bit perplexing and hypocritical to be denigrating this process. It also historically has been something the Republican Party has used. And in fact, traditionally, the percentage of people who vote by mail are whiter, older, and more Republican than otherwise. Now, this is a different...
So, Pam, let's grab some sound, actually, just because of the point you just made. I want to grab a little sound here from President Trump, who has repeatedly questioned the validity of mail-in voting. This is him last Wednesday.
This mail-in voting where they mail indiscriminately millions and millions of ballots to people, you're never going to know who won the election. You can't have that.
So you're talking a lot about sort of historic perspective and who has supported it. Let me just ask you in response to what we heard from the president, is there any evidence that mail-in ballots lead to voter fraud or the use of a lot more mail-in voting nationwide should be a cause to question the validity of the election?
Absolutely not. There's no evidence that vote-by-mail systems, of which every state has some version, are more subject to voter fraud than other methods. Now, it is true that we have had some circumstances and very isolated incidents But we do have a number of ways of limiting fraud, including ballot tracking. Each ballot and each even application now in Massachusetts has a barcode, which is unique to an individual. It's tracked. You can look and see where your ballot is. There is also, in some states, you literally get a text message when it's been received by election officials and all the rest. They have signature matching and other security methods.
Let me push back on that just a little bit, Pam, because like here in the Commonwealth, you have to request a mail-in ballot. But it is, in fact, the case, I was looking at this, that nine states plus Washington, D.C., which represent, that means more than 38 million voters, are, in fact, just being sent ballots. Everyone's going to get one, according to the New York Times. Does that not raise any concern over chain of custody or even the risk of unintentional duplicate voting? You mail it in, you think you're worried it didn't make it there, so you also go in and vote?
So no, those things are scanned, entered. You have to check in when you're a voter. You know whether the election official knows whether your ballot has been received and processed. So duplicate voting is really not an issue. I would say that most of the states that have moved, those nine states have moved very slowly to a full vote by mail process and have worked very diligently to have their voting records in the best shape possible. So there's a number of reforms. One of them the legislature passed here for Massachusetts 2 years ago. Our secretary has not implemented it yet, but it's a way of states sharing their data to make sure there isn't double registrations and that voters are removed from the voter rolls where they move, die, or otherwise are ineligible. There's a lot of technique involved here in Massachusetts.
Pam, we're on limited time. Pam, I'm so sorry. I know there's more point you wanted to make there, but there is another subject I want to get a chance to ask you about, which is the battle going on over the U.S. Postal Service, because it really is relevant to this moment. There's a set of budgetary decisions recently that critics say are leading to slow mail service. Plus, the Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, recently appointed, he's a large donor to the president, has suggested that some states should categorize their ballots as first-class mail instead of using the bulk marketing rate if they want to ensure timely delivery, but that price tag could be three times higher. So how important is it to be watching what's happening with the post office? And are you concerned about it in terms of ensuring a successful mail-in vote here in the Commonwealth this fall?
Well, I would advise every voter that is voting by mail to cast their ballot early. Allow enough time, because it is true the mail system has been taking longer than it has historically because of the issues that you just mentioned. There will be other options for voters, including drop boxes in most communities. Those are new in the process, but it's something that other states have used. You can securely drop off your ballot without going through the voting system, or you can drop it off in person if you just want to do that. And we've extended the deadline. This goes to an issue you were discussing earlier with the returns. For the general election, ballots received through Friday after the election will actually be counted. Now, that's a permanent rule in 17 states, but many, many states have adopted a temporary rule because of these postal slowdowns. We deserve to have and need to have a functioning postal service. Election mail is actually prioritized above other kinds of mail. It's supposed to get delivered first, and it should not be something that is subject to partisan manipulation.
All right. That is Pam Wilmot, the executive director of the advocacy group Common Cause Massachusetts. Appreciate that last answer, especially it's a little reassuring, Pam. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.